Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
College football!
The final seconds will roll off the clock and the horn sounds and the 2017 regular season comes to an end and the Tigers are victorious 45-21 to stay undefeated against Texas A&M in SEC play.
Listen to that from LSU Radio. Kevin, Troy, how do you guys feel? I mean, A&M's football has not really been competitive since Johnny left, but...
You shut up.
I guess it's less about the team.
We're still better than Texas.
But not better than UNT. It's true. But it's more about Kevin Sumlin getting fired, and that's what this weekend, man. This weekend consisted of wild and crazy football games, your best teams falling, other teams moving up. We'll see tomorrow evening. Actually, listen in the KNC Masterpiece tomorrow night because they will have an update on the college rankings. But you can kind of tell what's about to happen. But someone gets fired. Now y'all are in the hunt for, I guess, Jimbo Fisher.
There are multiple spots that say it's a done deal already. It'll be an announced over the weekend, next weekend.
That's so crazy that something like that can be going on during the middle of college football season. Like, it's not even done. College football season's not even over.
Sure.
And coaches are already getting ready to move around.
And it's not all bad either. That's what I thought was weird, is like Dan Mullen's quarterback at Mississippi State suffered a horrific injury, so they lost to Ole Miss, but they still had a good season, and now he's coaching elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right after the day after the report is that Mississippi State was going to do everything they could to keep him, and they're like, oh, now he's coaching in Florida.
Now, I do wonder, the Sumlin era is very similar to the Mora era, in that Jim Mora was good for like 3 years and then bad for 3 years. And doesn't Sumlin's career at A&M kind of feel the same? There was three good years, and then it's just been kind of meh.
Here's the way I would put it. There was two good years, and there was four good half years and four bad half years.
Okay.
And that's where I think he ran into the problem. I think it would have been different if you struggled at the beginning of the season more in those non-conference games and then equated yourself well in the SEC. The problem was, not this year, because this year we had the most catastrophic loss in the history of college football, but the 3 years before that, they started off 5-0, 5-0, 6-0, and they ended all of those years 8-5, 8-5, 8-5. So you're talking about going 3-5, 3-5, and 2-5 down the stretch, and I think that's what doomed him, is because, you know, once a narrative is set, it's hard to break, right? Mm-hmm. And so he became the November swoon guy.
All right.
Who, like, didn't have his team tough enough, didn't have his team prepared.
It wasn't that the part of the schedule was tougher whenever
sure.
you were facing the best teams in the SEC.
And I think that to a certain extent, but I think it was like 3 years ago when South Carolina was ranked in the top 10 to start the year with Steve Spurrier, and A&M rolled in there and beat their ass by like 30 points, and you're like, oh, wow, this team should be awesome. And then they got to 5-0, and then...
All right. Do they regret going to the SEC at all?
No.
Financially, it's been a boom for them.
Financially, it's been huge, but also recruiting-wise, like, there's no question the top school to be at right now is Texas A&M. Like, you can question that all you want, like, oh, Texas is on the come up with Tom Herman. Maybe, but for the last 4 years now, A&M has had the best recruiting class in the state, which also works.
When you're only comparing those two, I think TCU has had more prominence and more success over the last decade than Texas A&M has.
They have, but when it comes to recruiting, A&M
true. No question.
TCU.
No question about it.
But at the same time,
he's also discounting what Seth Luttrell's done at UNT.
Okay, look, UNT is definitely on the way
and
up.
One of them could keep a quarterback that the other one.
Hey, we lost like three of them. I know. Okay.
I mean, A&M did want Chad Morris also, so that was kind of another thing.
Still do.
Yeah, don't be sure.
Still do.
If it's not Jimbo Fisher, maybe. But my point is this:
don't forget about SMU.
Okay. Well, I mean, clearly we haven't. We're trying to steal their coach in addition to Florida's. That's weird, right? Like, the two top candidates might be the coach from Florida State and the coach from SMU. Like, what world are we living in where those are the two that you go after? But to your point, Roy, I think that's what's doomed Kevin Sumlin as well. Because what was people's complaints about Mac Brown for the longest time pre-Vince Young? Oh, you're the best recruiter. How come your team is not better? Same logic for Sumlin. They are consistently the best recruiting team in the state of Texas. Where are the results? And that's what I think has doomed him. Because you look at Gary Patterson at TCU, he wins all the time.
So my question to you then is, as a Texas A&M fan, Jimbo Fisher comes along. He ain't flying the swag copter around Texas.
Sure.
He's going to be driving a truck.
Right.
He's going to be driving a Ford F-150 heavy duty into every West Texas town in the area. Is that going to affect the way that they recruit? Because if Kevin Sumlin, it took all the heat for how he couldn't coach him up, Jimbo Fisher better be able to bring the same type of talent in here and do more with it.
I am concerned about that. We talked about this on the show on Friday, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody. If it does, I do apologize. I really loved having a younger and having a black coach. All right. And some people might shy away from that, but
I think both of those points are absolutely valid, especially when trying to recruit kids who listen. I mean, the fact is most of them are African American.
And are you afraid of, is that the Bible Belt right there in Texas? Like, if you're a player, are you afraid of that area?
My biggest thing in terms of like the race aspect of it was I liked it just seemed more like Kevin Sumlin would be in touch with the culture when you hear him talk, as opposed to when you hear Jimbo Fisher talk. You don't necessarily think, yes, we will attract all the players, you know? And so,
yeah, but you know, you saw what Jimbo Fisher did at Florida State, man.
Oh, hey, he got Jameis Winston there. And yeah. Jameis Winston is one of the great college quarterbacks of the last 20 years. So I really did like that from a recruiting perspective, but I mean, we'll see. Look, unfortunately, it was time for a change. Like, once you got your doors blown off by LSU, you know how I feel. I think if they won that game, he should have kept him. But when you just get run, you got to do something.
All right, will the Pac-12 be prominent again? Or is it Pac-15? Will the Pac-12 yes. be prominent again as Chip Kelly now takes the reins at UCLA? And should Rosen leave?
I think he should not leave, but I think this
really?
Is, oh, yeah.
I think Rosen should stay another year?
I really do. I mean, especially since you know the narrative now, some people think he quit on the team in the USC game because he was
like, he's fragile.
Oh, I could see that mentally and physically.
I think you're a very fragile quarterback.
No, I agree. But look, Chip Kelly is a phenomenal hire. I really believe that. In his, 4 years at Oregon, I think I looked it up. His average record was 11.5-2. So, hey, for a UCLA team that is in the same boat as Texas A&M in terms of like, we probably should be good, but we haven't been good for a while. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great hire.
And also, you've got to think about it this way, and it's crazy to think about this with Josh Rosen. Do you stay at UCLA and learn from an incredible offensive mind like Chip Kelly, or do you go to Cleveland?
Oh.
Because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's done. If he goes to Cleveland, he's done.
I'm still hopeful that Baker Mayfield gets the karma of being drafted by Cleveland. So, like, I'm a big OU fan. Don't get me wrong, but I kind of want him to get to the championship game, maybe lose it, and then get drafted by Cleveland. That's good karma for me.
Okay, well, we'll get to the championship game in just a minute. But the other coaching story we had to throw out
Greg
there.
Greg Schiano.
What the hell's happening there?
So I'd love if RJ was here for this moment, because Tennessee says, you know what? We got paperwork in the works for former Rutgers and Tampa Bay head coach Greg Schiano. And he's now a coordinator at Ohio State. He's an assistant coach there. And all of a sudden, a huge rock is spray painted. And this is the big rock, right? At Tennessee, it's spray painted. And it says,
do they have just, it's the big rock?
No, they have this big rock there. It's from Rocky Top or something. I think it's
I just really want it to be called the big rock.
The big rock. If you smell.
Oh.
So
next president.
Somebody spray paints on it. Greg Schiano covered up child rape at Penn State.
Okay. So this story is really weird. So what's that? What that's all based on is this weird gossip chain that there was a story a couple of years ago that one of the guys who was deposed in the Penn State case,
Mike McQueary.
It was somebody. I think it was somebody else who directly said Schiano.
Bradley.
Though.
It was Bradley.
Yes, supposedly said that. And Bradley since then is like, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. And Schiano was like, that's not true at all. So everyone, even the person who allegedly said it, denies it. But I mean, once people hear it, like you're like, no, I heard it. So this is one instance where I really think it is fake news. But I think it might be a cover-up for they just think he's a crappy coach, right? And they're like, nope, kids.
So the fans, I guess, at Tennessee just didn't like him. Or, and I'm trying to figure out.
He's not John Gruden.
What big group was it? Was it a bunch of alumnus that are just now freshly out of college? Was it old school alumnus? Because I don't think old school alumnus are running around spraying spray paint on anything.
I don't think they're on
or
campus.
Was it a bunch of internet
that,
trolls?
It's just a bunch of kids looking for something to do and be a part of, right? It's a bunch of college kids who got nothing to do on a Sunday afternoon hanging around campus. And they hear that a new coach is coming to their school that they don't like or that they hear they shouldn't like. That's not high profile enough. And they come up with any reason they can to have him come to the school.
Because, Kevin, this is very similar to Ray Lewis with you.
Sure.
You never let anybody forget that Ray Lewis did X, right?
That's right.
Not ecstasy, but what he did.
I mean,
allegedly.
What did he do?
Well,
I mean, allegedly he killed some two people. Right. But in real life, we know that he flipped on his friends.
So, but this sounds like
not
what it is.
Is thing.
Somebody was like, oh, yeah, this is a great opportunity to bring this up. And they wanted to make him part of it. And maybe it wasn't even Tennessee fans. Maybe it was fans of another school that rolled in there and did something like this because they wanted to start making fun of the new Tennessee head coach before things got started. Either way, they have screwed this guy out of a job. And that sucks when something like that happens.
That's true. But going back to who perpetrated this, tell me you wouldn't watch an old man comedy movie with Harrison Ford and Joe Pesci where they try to sabotage somebody getting the head coach job because their old friend is really up for the job as well. That's what this sounds like.
Yes,
they're friends
I would.
With John Gruden. They're trying to mess this up.
My question to Tennessee fan is, who do you think you're getting better than Greg Schiano?
It's John Gruden. Have you not heard those rumors?
No, he's trolling them. He's using them.
Okay, but supposedly there's a rumor out there that they have put together a bid of $10 million per year to get John Gruden. And even then, I'd be like, oh, I'd go to Tennessee for that.
Okay.
Win 8 games and you're a hero.
Is that more than he's making doing the Monday Night Football stuff?
I think he's making a few million, but I don't know that
I think he's making 6.
Shut up.
Yeah.
All right.
The pressure is way lower.
Well, we'll continue to monitor the Greg Schiano story. But before we get to it, guys, this weekend. Now, Kevin and I are going to be, on Saturday, we're going to be doing the Santa Run with My Possibilities.
Right.
We'll emcee that at Toyota Stadium out in Frisco. We want everybody to be there. Sunday, we'll be at Jared's Golf Tournament. We'll be doing that thing. We'll be talking about auctioning off a little bit of a bay opportunity to play some top golf with us.
Uh-oh.
But, Kevin, I know Saturday, we'll be done around noonish, right around noonish maybe a little earlier. Games start at 11 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to start with UCF and Memphis. We're going to kind of assume that UCF's going to win that and continue to be undefeated.
Don't sleep on Memphis.
And then it's going to be OU-TCU. And then, Kevin, it's going to be Georgia and freaking Auburn.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be, well, I'm not worried about the Fresno State, Boise State game. Ohio State and Wisconsin, along with Miami and Clemson. Those games right there. And you also got Stanford and USC going in there. But this slate of college football games could shake up the entire college football playoff.
Okay. I think this is super cool. For people who want an 8-team playoff, close enough. 8 of the top 10 teams are not only playing, they're all playing each other. I feel like Alabama and Penn State should just create a game. Because those are the only two that are in the top 10, at least according to the AP poll. We'll see tomorrow night, that aren't playing. So I think Alabama and Penn State should get on the horn and just schedule a game for this weekend. And that will really help. And so it's incredibly fascinating because on the one hand, like, you like to think that if Clemson wins, they're going to be in. Whoever wins the Auburn-Georgia game, I would assume they're in. I would assume Wisconsin, if they win, they're in. And Oklahoma right now is number two, so you would assume if they win, they're in. But does that mean Alabama, that's been number one all year and lost a decently close game on the road to a team that's in the top four,
how much, make it? How much would they hate that? How much would the college football playoff group hate Alabama not in?
I mean, look, and if you're Alabama, you look at it and you're like, Oklahoma lost to a team not in the top 25. How is this fair? And like, if somehow Ohio State beats Wisconsin and people push for them to get in, I'm like, your team lost by 35 points to Iowa. Mm-hmm. The hell are you talking
about?
But
if Auburn beats Georgia, they belong in, right?
Yes.
What if Auburn loses to Georgia?
Then they're out.
They're out.
Whoever loses the SEC is out.
You beat the number one team twice and still get bumped out. That's crazy.
It is, but they would have three losses. No team in the history of the playoff has made it in with two losses. You can't just skip that and go, all right, you got three losses, you're in.
Well, Auburn's rolling right now, man. They are rolling.
Without their running back in that game.
And that's going to be a big miss for them right there. It is an afternoon where, Kevin, once we get done with the Santa run, their group's going to be hanging out at Blue Goose. I'm going to go over there and just sit there and watch college football and eat tortilla chips.
It's going to be an awesome, awesome weekend of college football. And then, like, how many more people get fired? Because if you think this is the end of the firing,
you're saying Saban's gone?
I mean, yes, please. Maybe he can trick Texas into thinking he's going to go there again. He's just using them for money. Who knows?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.